Welcome into the Sideline Sports Show with Bryson and DC. Woo! Super Bowl Sunday.
Woo!
I know.
Man, I am not excited at all.
I'm a little excited. I think I'm just hopeful it's a decent game. You know, that's all we can really hope for, because neither of these teams are all that interesting, especially when you look at the quarterbacks. And I think Vrabel's interesting. Mike McDonald is not very interesting at all. But we're going to try to hype it up as much as we can today.
Going to try.
But we'll also sprinkle in some basketball. We had some stuff locally here to talk about, and in the state as a whole as well. This is a Sideline Sports Show. Make sure you follow us on social media. Make sure you subscribe on the YouTube channel. Follow us on Facebook, X, wherever you would like to see our smiling faces and clips and interviews. We have a whole lot of stuff going on our social media, so make sure you are following to stay up to date. And we got a big show lined up for you. We got Javon Barnes from Divine Sports and Entertainment. He is a certified NFL agent, has been for quite some time. And we're going to get his thoughts on the Super Bowl, on the state of NIL, because they serve a lot of clients here locally as well as some professional athletes, and including a couple who are in today's game out in San Francisco. So we're going to get his thoughts on the Super Bowl as well. So we got Javon Barnes. His brother, Jason Barnes, is in the scouting department for the Seahawks. So we'll see if he's going to pick his brother's team or not. I think he probably will. We also have Eric Thornton from the Norwell girls basketball team. He is also going to join us at noon today, after the Knights beat Homestead for the second time this year and beat them in the sectional championship last night at Southside to claim their, I think, fourth sectional title in a row. And they're going to try to make a deep run in Class 4A after winning the Class 3A state title last year. So we'll get Eric's thoughts on the win last night, a come-from-behind victory for the Knights. That'll be coming up at noon. We are a part of the Get In Network. Make sure you subscribe to their newsletter. You just go to getindiana.com. You can find out a whole bunch of stuff about small towns in Indiana, or some of the biggest news that's going on. I know Nate Spangle and the crew down there are going to try to visit 1,000 Indiana towns this year. So make sure you are following them on social media at Nate Spangle and Get In. You can also follow them at Get In Sports on Instagram as well. We collaborate with them on a lot of our clips as well. So make sure you're following them. And we are happy to be on the Get Indiana Podcast Network. DC, you said you're not super excited about today's game, but overall, how are you doing, buddy?
For obvious reasons. My Broncos are supposed to be playing today, and they're not. Thanks to Bo Nix. Appreciate you for getting injured on a play you shouldn't even have been in. Cool. So instead, I got to watch Drake May and Sam Darnold go head-to-head.
Yeah.
Exciting stuff. And Bad Bunny at halftime.
Hey, I'm excited about Bad Bunny. That should be the probably the most entertaining part of the day, at least. You would think.
Probably, yeah. Especially all the cameos he's probably going to bring out. It'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm excited to see, because he's been a part of a Super Bowl performance. I think when, was it Shakira did it a few years ago? Shakira and J-Lo, I think. I think he'll bring out some people, and I think it'll be an interesting show.
We'll have to try very hard to be better than the game. I'll save my thoughts for the game.
I'm excited
about the spread that I'm going to have, so than we love our Super Bowl spreads.
That's true.
We always talk about on the show, getting ready for the Super Bowl. So for me, that's what's more exciting than the actual game itself. But, you know. I'm just hoping, like you said, just hoping for a good game, because has a potential to be not a good game. So we'll see what happens.
I think it will be. I think it'll be a close game. Maybe not super entertaining, but I think it should be a good game. If you want to comment, what are you having for Super Bowl, or who your Super Bowl pick is? We'll show it up here on the screen and get some interaction with you guys that are watching live here on the live stream, either on YouTube or on Facebook. We finally got our Facebook page up and running, so we can straighten on to the Facebook page now. And we also post interviews on there as well. We've had a number of big guests recently as well. We had Raphael Davis last week. We had Jesse Bates last week.
How do you forget about Jesse?
I know. I almost forgot. He's been one of our biggest guests. We had Trey Essex on. We've had a lot of big guests, and we're going to have some more guests lined up for you over the next few weeks as well. Next week's show, just to tease next week's show, should be a fun show. Should be an interesting show. We already got it lined up. We already have guests committed. So it's going to be a unique show. It's not going to be really anything topical on that day, but just to tease, we have not just one, not two, not three, maybe four, five, six, seven guests lined up already, just to kind of ease. Oh, all right. I knew I was trending that way, and I tried to stop myself, but it just kept going. I was trying to do like the LeBron James thing, when he not one, not two, but
I got too many teenagers, bro.
My bad. Thank goodness my kids don't even have any clue of what they're too young. Good. So
keep them that way.
Thank goodness. All right, let's actually start off the show here. We had some sectional champions. Like I said, Norwell defeated Homestead last night. Norwell will take on the Snyder Panthers, who won a sectional as well. They're fourth straight sectional under Reggie Tharp. And they will face each other in the Class 4A regional down at Belmont next week. We had East Noble and Belmont winning Class 3A. They face each other in the regional next week. We had Eastside and Whitco locally also win a sectional championship. They face each other in the regional next week. And then we also had Fremont. They won on their home court last night to claim the sectional title. And it just feels like, obviously we have a handful locally that are going to win a sectional regardless, because a lot of local teams face each other. But we have at least three from the NEA conference that won a sectional. And I want to get Coach Thornton's thoughts on it when he comes up on the show at noon. It just feels like that conference was deeper this year. And obviously having Norwell bump up to 4A gives the opportunity for the likes of East Noble and Belmont to win a sectional championship this year. So congrats to all those ladies and coaches and coaching staffs for winning last night. So it was a big night, and it's always a big time this year for some sectional basketball, because some hardware is being handed out, and it will be for the next few weekends. So,
yeah, super huge. I mean, it's always tough to beat a team twice, especially in high school.
Yeah.
And earlier back in November, Homestead and Norwell had a battle, but Norwell ended up pulling out pretty soundly, almost by double digits. Mm-hmm. So this game I thought would be a little bit different. I think a lot of people thought it'd be a little bit different. But, they were trailing by 12 late in the game. Norwell was trailing Homestead in the last quarter by 12. Mm-hmm. And Vanessa Rossworm, behind her 28-point performance, led the Norwell Knights to victory by 1 point. They advanced. They got Snyder next on Saturday. This is why this Norwell team is so highly regarded. They never give up, and led by Vanessa Rossworm, who at this point, I think somebody tweeted it last night, at some point, you got to start having the discussion with her, with Indiana Miss Basketball.
Yeah.
I think last night's performance solidified that even more. So, great performance last night by Norwell. So, very excited to talk to Coach Eric Thornton coming up later on in the show.
Yeah, for sure. That's coming up at noon today. I also want to get your thoughts on your Purdue Boilermakers eking out a win over Oregon. You put in the headline there, lacking leadership. And we talked a little bit about last week that we just need to have guys like Braden Smith, Fletcher Lawyer step up, Trey Kaufman Wren, TKR step up. And those guys scored yesterday, but it still felt like down the stretch, they were just making too many mental mistakes and allowing Oregon, who has one win in Big Ten play this year, I've only won 8 games overall. And it just felt like they were just letting this team hang around and making mental mistakes and not being locked in, not getting the, things that this team has done for so many years under Matt Painter. And it just feels like that they struggled once again with a team that they probably should have handled by a lot more on their home court yesterday.
Yeah, so it was very clear that Purdue struggled with, you know, Oregon's, you know, because Oregon is really long and athletic. You know, their length and athleticism is what makes Oregon, you know, not a very easy out when you play them. But that also scares me, though, because no matter how good their athleticism is and their length is down low in the post, there's way too many vets on Purdue to let that overcome, and talented players on Purdue. And again, like, this is what we were talking about, man. Like, somebody has got to step up at some point and become a leader in that locker room. Somebody has to step up and say, look, we should be blowing this team out. This is Oregon. It's like football. Like, what? It's Oregon basketball.
Yeah.
And we escaped them at home.
Yeah.
Like, this is the problem. And Braden Smith finished, what, 13 last night? That can't happen. No. That can't happen. Purdue, he needs to be in the 20-point range every night. He is just too good to be scoring only 13 points. That's what it comes down to, man. Top to bottom, lack of leadership, nobody stepping up and getting rallying these guys behind them. And they're kind of soft. Like, down low, man, I know we don't have Zach Edey anymore. I get it, you know. But just way too soft down low. They're getting beat up by, again, Oregon, okay? Like, let's – I keep saying that, but, like, let it sink in. Oregon barely has a basketball program at this point. Like, like, let's be real here.
You're acting like this is an Oregon team that hasn't done it. I mean, they haven't won a national championship, but they've been to the Elite Eight a couple of times under Dana Altman.
20 years ago.
No, not 20 years ago. It was maybe five, but still.
Five is the new 20.
Like, no, forever. I know, but this is an Oregon program that has been trending down these last couple of years. So you're right. I mean, this Purdue team should have handled them by at least double digits. But again, this game came down to Purdue's lack of shooting. Fletcher Lawyer was the only one who hit multiple threes yesterday.
Yeah,
he was good. He felt like he has gotten back to his normal self because he went off against Maryland last Sunday, and then he carried it over into this game. But still, Braden Smith made some you know, odd turnovers late in that game. He only had four assists yesterday when you expect him to have, you know, at least seven or eight per game. I think that's what he's averaging, maybe nine. But it just felt like he wasn't getting anything moving, had six turnovers in the game for Smith. And that's just uncharacteristic for him. And it just feels like they don't have the playmakers that they've had in years past where, you know, they could beat somebody off the dribble and make it, you know, like a Jaden Ivey who could just, you know, drive in and make an athletic play at the rim. They just don't feel like they have that. And it feels like Oscar Clough, who's, you know, obviously not athletic, but still when he struggles, and then TKR is trying to, you know, fill the rest and he struggles, and you didn't get anything from Clough. CJ Cox wasn't shooting it well. You're not getting a whole lot of contributions outside of Smith and Lawyer. And it just feels like that nobody just feels like this team is just not playing together right now.
It was just an ugly game. Like, neither team looked good in that game. Like, both of them shot like 43-44%. Yeah. Like, it was just a bad basketball game offensively for both of them. It was an ugly game to watch. I was so mad that I wasted my time watching it. Like, I could have been doing anything else. Instead, I was watching this horrible offensive basketball game by the Purdue Boilermakers. So, but they escaped. Nonetheless, a win is a win.
Yeah.
Take it. Okay. But I need to see some improvement because this ain't working. And it's only going to get, you know, worse down the stretch. You got Nebraska on Tuesday.
Yep.
So, I mean.
And that's a team that can score. That's a team that can score. So if you're not scoring, and you're struggling, it's not a team you want to face because
Iowa ain't gonna be no slouch either next week.
No, that's again another team that can move the ball efficiently and score. And if you're not having a good day shooting, those are the teams that can bury you and bury you quickly. As you know, another team in the state, Indiana, has seen against both those teams. They got shellacked by Iowa at home about a month ago. They led Nebraska by double digits, and the Huskers came flying back to win that game. And, you know, that's just Purdue is a team that if you're not having a great shooting day, it's hard for them to eke out victories or hard for them to maintain a close enough margin. And that's just what we saw yesterday. They were able to, you know, show some grit, show some toughness down the stretch, and able to come away with some key timely baskets there at the end and some defensive stops as well. So that's just what they're going to have to do moving forward. Another team that did something similar down the stretch was IU. And having watched this game, I watched all of this game. I flipped over to the Purdue game after this game was finished because they were kind of going on. They overlapped a little bit yesterday as this one tipped off at noon and Purdue's game tipped off at 1. This game, another one. As we said last week, another game that should not have went to overtime but did. IU was up by 14 in the second half and just allowed Wisconsin to get hot from beyond the arc and get back into this game. And Indiana made, I think, 5 threes yesterday, one of their worst three-point shooting percentages of the season, and a team that lives and dies by the three, and they almost died yesterday. And you had some calls, specifically in overtime, that you know were controversial. If you look at the replays, the charge call against Boyd on Enright, that could have gone either way. It went in Indiana's favor. And then the foul on Lamar Wilkerson that he drew on Blackwell, there were some angles, and then people were tweeting out like, "You judge the call." But then it you come out and you see a different angle that Blackwell stepped on Lamar's foot, so that's a foul. So that one isn't as controversial in my mind, but it allowed Lamar Wilkerson to step to the line, hit 2 free throws, and give Indiana the win. Another one that comes down to a call like it did against UCLA a week ago. And IU just feels like down the stretch of these games, they have been able to find ways to win here recently. And that I think should be good for them in the future, but they're just letting teams get back in these games when they're up by double digits in the second half. And they just have not had the ability here recently to just pull away or keep teams at bay. They're struggling on offense, and they're just not sticking to the game plan on defense, which is very frustrating.
I mean, I get it, but like, so you're too close, okay? Yeah. Obviously, here you're too close to the Hoosiers, so you can't see it from the other side. But from my perspective, as a Purdue fan, I like what I'm seeing out of IU right now. They ain't soft, okay?
Okay, no, they're very physical.
Rebounds, they're playing aggressive, mm-hmm. and that's why they, you know, although it shouldn't have went to overtime, they still put out the victory at the end of the day against a very good Wisconsin team. Yeah. This is a team, last week we were just talking possible deep run in the tournament with Rayfield Davis from the Big Ten Network. So, huge win for IU. Huge performances by, you know, Wilkerson, you talk about the foul. Bro, he was on fire. Yeah. Couldn't be stopped last night. If Wilkerson's playing like that, IU going to be tough because he ain't even supposed to be doing that. So you taking into account that DeVries was getting a lot of rebounds last night, but it didn't feel like, and he finished with 16, but it didn't feel like it. No. It didn't feel like he scored 16 points. It felt more like he had like 6. Yeah. When I imagine if all of these guys hit their stride, DeVries, Wilkerson, Enright, even Alexis.
Yeah.
If all these guys hit their stride. And Nick Dorn, who we talked about last week, who had the big performance. Man, if they figure out a way for all of these guys to perform, this team's going to be tough.
Yeah.
And it feels like they're getting it going. I like what I'm seeing out of IU. It's hard to admit that. No. But they're not playing soft. And that's the big thing. Like, I look at, you know, they out-rebounded Wisconsin, who was a great rebounding team. Mm-hmm. And IU out-rebounded them. They ain't soft, man. And I like what I'm seeing out of them. They're pulling out these victories. You know, they may not be pretty at all times, but they are finding ways to win.
Yeah,
and getting big victories. So I like what I'm seeing out of IU.
No, I like what I'm seeing. I'm just frustrated of how we're getting there, especially late in the game. You know, you feel like you have a team that, like you said, can get hot from many different guys. Nick Dorn was a no-show yesterday. He struggled. But you had guys like Sam Alexis who stepped up inside, and Lamar Wilkerson, Connor Enright. It feels like when Connor Enright scores in double digits, IU's probably going to win that game because he's not a score-first point guard. He is obviously a guy that's trying to get this team in the flow of the offense, and he did, but then he got into foul trouble, and then Wisconsin started to come back a little bit because he wasn't on the floor, and he's probably their best
defender. Any other team in that game, Bryce, loses. Yeah. Wisconsin was 90% from three. They missed one three, brother. They hit 11 threes. They were 11 for 12. Anybody else would have got destroyed in that game.
Yeah.
You got to like what IU did, man. They found out a way. They shot 86% or something like that from three. So they were hanging. Man, yeah. I like what I'm seeing out of IU. I think you got to step back a little bit and really, you know, just take a step back. Take that Hoosier. Take them Hoosier shades off you got over there. I'm surprised you. Is that an IU shirt you're wearing again?
No, not today. Not today.
I'm surprised. But yeah, you got to take those. You got to take those shades off sometimes, bro, and just really take a step back and look and compare them to Purdue right now. Like Purdue shot 44%. Like IU shot 47%. Okay, that's not great.
Yeah,
but yeah, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin's normally they're normally a team that scores like in the 90s, and IU played well defensively for most of that game. It's just the last eight minutes.
They made 12 threes.
Yeah, it's just the last 8 minutes or so that I'm most frustrated with because this team just feels like they can't put a team down and keep them down. Yeah. And Wisconsin's a good enough team to come back. That's you know for sure. They've done it all year. They did it at Minnesota when they had scored like 18 points in the first half, and then they rallied to score like 50 something to win that game.
What was more impressive for you for IU last night? 9 blocks or out-rebounding Wisconsin?
Probably out-rebounding Wisconsin because Indiana doesn't have a whole lot of size, so they have to go that extra mile. You have to have different guys that are stepping up to and it felt like I'm surprised they out-rebounded them because there were so many long rebounds after, Wisconsin would miss a three that would go back out to them and just continue the possession. So that's surprising that they would out-rebound them, but it's, they were able to find – they just found a way, and that's what this team has done because they didn't make a field goal for the last 10 minutes of that game. They made one, actually. They made one field goal in the last 10 minutes. The only way they got their points was – from the free throw line. So it was a gutsy win. They face Oregon on Monday,
if I had one real critique of IU, they need a little bit more help from their bench.
Yeah,
need a little bit. They need someone to step up in that second unit.
Yeah.
To have one critique.
Yeah, well, they had Conaway, who played against USC because he didn't play against UCLA because he's been bad on the ankle. But then he was apparently sick yesterday, had to leave Assembly Hall because he was so sick yesterday. Apparently some flu had been going through the team this past week. So, but they were missing Conaway yesterday. Once he is back into the lineup on a more permanent basis, then it feels like that this team will, hopefully have the drop off to get into the offensive flow when you have like, a Nick Dorn who struggles or Connor Enright who is, maybe if he gets into foul trouble, has to go to the bench. It feels like you can have Conaway in there and hopefully not have as big of a drop off as far as in the flow, getting in the flow of the offense and movement and stuff like that. So it just, once you get him back, Josiah Miles has been playing better of late. He still feels like he's out there sometimes a little lost, but I think that this team, you definitely, like you said, need more out of the bench because Trent Sisley, he's just not. I don't know if it's just the physicality of the Big Ten basketball or he's just going in a slump. I mean, he came up huge, obviously, in that UCLA game, but it feels like that this team is. Hopefully they don't wear down as we get down in the season because they are playing such heavy minutes for their starters. That's my one concern is that this team is not super deep and the guys that do come off the bench, haven't played a ton. So it's just going to be some inexperienced guys coming off the bench late in the season. So
we'll see. But, I mean, they still got about a month to get it together because next month is when you want to be playing your best basketball.
Right.
So as long as the guards keep playing the way they have been, they should be fine. But we'll see, man. Other teams are stepping it up at the right time, too.
Yeah. As of right now, according to Bracketology, at least at ESPN, Indiana's a 9 seed. So they're not even on that bubble line right now. Purdue is a 3 seed. And then I think there's still about
I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm picking upset over Purdue right now. First round of the tournament.
In the first round?
I don't care if they're playing Old Dominion Tech Academy.
That's not a real team.
I know. I don't care. They could be playing South Harmon Institute of Technology from what was that movie? I don't remember what the movie's called. Accepted? Yeah. From the movie Accepted. They could be playing them. I'm picking them. I'm picking upset. My Purdue Boilermakers look so terrible. Like, I have no belief in Purdue right now. Absolutely none.
So right now, they're, at least according to Joe Nardi, they're the 3 seed gonna face off against the 14 seed Austin Peay.
I'm picking Austin Peay.
Do you even know the mascot of Austin Peay?
No. Absolutely not. What?
Could you even tell me where Austin Peay is located?
No. Absolutely not. Could you without looking it up?
Okay, yeah, right now, my hands are off my mouse. It's on my screen. All I see is the bracket. So, Austin Peay, I do know where they're located, I believe, in Tennessee, and I think their mascot is the Governors. So,
all right, I'm looking it up.
I think they're located in Tennessee.
Okay, Tennessee is correct.
And I think their mascot is the Governors. So,
all right, you win.
Yeah.
You win. You're correct.
That's like one thing. If we wanted to have like a little...
How do you know that? Why do you know that?
I don't know. I just know so much random college information. Like we could have like a weekly game of like you ask me what the mascot is, where it's located. I could probably give you the town for most of these. It's from playing college football and watching college football and college basketball for my entire life. That's the only reason why.
I just don't give a damn about Austin Peay. Like,
I'm not saying I care about him. I just know it's somewhere in the back of my mind that I can pull it out whenever. Yeah. So if
there was ever a what was that show called? Stump the Schwab.
Yeah,
that would be a question on Stump the Schwab back in the day on ESPN that no one would know other than you and Schwab.
Yeah,
and that's probably true. The one random contestant that somehow went to Austin Peay. That's crazy though.
Yeah,
I'm picking Austin Peay right now.
It wouldn't surprise me because Purdue has struggled in the tournament. You know, outside of their run to the national championship 2 years ago, that this team has been known obviously to get upset in the first round or first or second round recently. And it feels like a team if they're not shooting well. That they could, because obviously you said the physicality is not there. Unlike a team with IU, which feels like they are a team that can play physically, be the aggressor inside, and when they're guarding you on defense, as whereas Purdue might not be. And I'm interested to see if that changes for Purdue, because Purdue also has to face IU one more time in Mackey. Yeah, I think it might be it'll be an interesting game this time, as I feel like in that last matchup Purdue got down and could just never get back fully into that game, but we will have to see with this matchup this time around. So I think that's coming up here in a couple weeks. I know IU plays Oregon on Monday, Purdue plays Nebraska on Tuesday. That one should be a fun game because, like you said, Purdue is a team that if you get behind in a team like Nebraska, it's in Lincoln, so on the road is going to be difficult. And then Purdue's got a tough stretch coming up. It's Nebraska, it's Iowa, Michigan, who's the number 2 team in the country, IU again, and then Michigan State before they finish out with 3 winnable games that they should finish strong going into the Big Ten tournament. But this is a critical stretch. I don't know. I doubt they'll win all five of these games coming up, but they got to at least win three out of the next five for you to feel good about where this team is going into the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournament. Because if they just get shellacked or don't score enough or just don't perform well in these games, then yeah, why would you feel confident about this team going into the Big Ten tournament or NCAA tournament?
So as we switch gears before, as we're still waiting on Javon to pop on.
Yeah.
Super Bowl. We talked about it earlier. How are you feeling? I already expressed my disinterest in the Super Bowl today.
Yeah.
You feeling how I'm feeling?
It's not that I'm disinterested. I'm just trying to think of the word to – I don't know. I'm not disinterested. I'm just about the matchup because we've seen this matchup. It was last time it was 11 years ago, and that's kind of like the only thing bringing juice to this. You know, like this is a Super Bowl rematch. It ended on a play that was going to be replayed probably at least a handful of times today. You're probably going to see it if you watch the broadcast, and I'm just the quarterbacks aren't interesting. Sam Darnold's had an interesting career path. He's not an interesting guy. Doesn't say a whole lot of things. The only interesting. What's the most interesting thing Sam Darnold has said besides he's seeing ghosts when he's sitting on the bench when he's playing for the Jets? Like other than that, he hasn't said a whole lot of interesting things, and neither has Drake May.
All right. First of all, let's chill. Okay. Sam Darnold's thrown for 4,000 yards this year.
So is Drake May.
Yeah, but
he's also rushed for almost 500 yards.
They ain't played nobody. Sam Darnold played some top competition over in the NFC. Patriots didn't play nobody. Patriots be beating up on the Jets and Dolphins.
Yeah.
Like, that's just free yards.
No, I get it. I get it. But
Sam Darnold playing against top level competition. 25 touchdowns. He did have 14 picks, though.
That's okay. We can discuss a little bit, but
I like Sam Darnold. I'm not completely sold on Drake May yet, though.
I like Sam Darnold for the first 55 minutes of this game.
Not to mention he's a USC guy. I like USC.
I don't. Obviously, I'm a Notre Dame guy.
You know, yeah, you're Notre Dame. That's where this rooted hate is coming from. Just say it.
Well, the Seahawks have Julian Love, who's a Notre Dame guy. They have Riley Mills, who's a Notre Dame guy. So there is some Notre Dame ties to Seattle. But I'm just saying, I like Sam Darnold for 55 minutes of this game. If he is tasked with driving down late against this New England defense, then I don't trust him. I trust him to make a mistake in Sam Darnold fashion. I don't really know if I trust Drake May either, because this Seattle defense has been really good, and the offensive line for the Patriots has been mediocre at best. May has been sacked 47 times this year, and he's been running for his life. So that's why I just think it's going to be a defensive battle. I don't think there's going to be a lot of scoring, so that's why I'm just about it, because I feel like we're going to get what was it, like 13-3 when the Patriots beat the Rams that one year? It was a very ugly game.
I remember that.
It was just an ugly game. I'm not saying it's going to be that bad, but I just think it's going to be an ugly, ugly game where it's going to take, you know, I'm hopeful that we get, you know, one big play by Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Like, that's – I'm hopeful he goes off in this game, but I don't think he will. I just think this defense, it's going to be a defensive battle. And that's why I'm not super high on, like, this is going to be a great game. I just think it's going to be a decent game that'll be close in the fourth quarter, and we'll figure it out from there.
I don't think it's going to be close.
Really?
But I think it's going to be more points scored than what you just said. 13-3? You're telling me Sam Darnold?
I'm just comparing it to
4,000 yards?
I'm just comparing it to that game. I think it's going to be a game like that. I'm not saying it is going to be that game.
About to eat them up.
No.
Well, let's go ahead. Let's switch gears. Okay, we gotta talk. Let's talk more of the Super Bowl. But we also got another guest that we've been looking forward to bringing on today. So,
yeah, for sure. It's still football related, and we'll get his thoughts on the Super Bowl as well. Let's bring on Devon Barnes, president of football for Divine Sports Entertainment, here joining us on the show. And Javon, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you so much for being on the show. What are your thoughts? Since we're talking about the Super Bowl, we'll just get your thoughts on, you know, what you think this game will be like today. Will it be entertaining, or will it be a snooze fest like DC thinks?
Well, I think it will be entertaining. It is going to be a defensive battle. I think I'll give Seattle the slight edge on defense. You know, I got a defensive player over there, one of their best ones, Leonard Williams. So, you know, now I got family that's one of the scouts over there with Seattle, with Jason Barnes. But yeah. I got clients on both teams. And, you know, I think the score isn't going to be as high as what some people think. You know, but it man, that Seattle defense is really tough. You know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wanna start off, Javon. So before we even get into that a little bit more extensively, so you're an NFL agent and you just had the big announcement for Divine Sports and Entertainment. How did you get in this business and when did you get into this business? Talk about your journey and how you got started.
Well, I was an undrafted free agent with the Jets almost, well, man, 20 years ago, and bounced around in NFL Europe, Canada, arena, and all that. Went back home, was working with Fort Wayne Community Schools for a couple years, and then I followed my father's footsteps about a decade and a half ago. And, you know, my father's been an agent for about 30-plus years, and he either represented or co-represented 9 Hall of Famers. I still work with a few of them to this day, you know, so basically following his footsteps and, you know, just learning a lot of ups and downs of this business. It's a dog-eat-dog business. It's a, you know, it's a crazy business at times, but it does teach you a lot of things about, you know, who you are as a person. I mean, because I've got a guy that's in prison right now that I go and see and interact with, Henry Ruggs. And I've seen him score touchdowns, and I've also seen him, you know, with tears in his eyes. You know, so it's a great journey. Now I'm with Divine Sports. I'm the president and partner of that firm. Two young African-American brothers that I linked up with, Ryan Williams Jenkins and Mike Desane, two young, great, great serving leaders in this industry. We all jailed together with a few other young ladies and men. We got Marcus Muhammad from Fort Wayne with us. And we got some 260 talent with us in our NIL space with Tay Johnson, Mylon Graham, and others. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a great thing. I was with a bigger firm, now with a more smaller boutique firm, but we're very hands-on. Like I said, there's not many firms that can say that they're servicing Hall of Famers all the way down to NIL and connecting with the community. And I'm just blessed that I'm continuing to be able to do what I can do.
Yeah, you mentioned one thing that kind of perked up in my brain when you mentioned it was NFL Europe. You know, that brings me back, you know, a long time. And obviously the game has tried to go over there. It's still going over there in more ways than one now. Now I'm in visiting multiple countries over there. But what was it like back then to play when in that kind of upstart, trying to get the NFL game to grow over there in its initial phase, whereas now they're just, you know, playing games over there when they actually used to have teams over there and playing in that? What was that like?
Oh, man, it was great. You know, I was with the Hamburg Sea Devils. Hamburg, Germany, and you know, you would walk around and you know, people know that you're not from Germany or whatever, and they treated you like, you know, you was like a celebrity, you know, because football is pretty popular in a lot of those countries over there, and then in Germany it is as well. And but I mean, soccer's king, you know, so anytime you mention soccer, I mean, you know, they really didn't even like this saying football, you know, because the real football is soccer.
Right.
But I mean, it was definitely a learning curve for me because I like eating, and it was tough for me at first. So I did find the closest KFC And I treated KFC like it's Ruth Chris. I went there every other day. You know, it was definitely, I'm telling you, that was like the treat for me. Mm-hmm. But a lot of those individuals that went over there, they were, you know, last on the bench, third stringers, stuff like that. And we really bonded. I actually talked to a few of them to this day. And it shows, really, I mean, the tenacity that some of these guys have. I mean, mm-hmm. because we wasn't getting paid that much. I mean, and a lot of these individuals haven't seen their families in a long, long time, but they're still grinding, working, doing the extra, and making sure that they were trying to be better than they were yesterday. And the learning lessons that I got from that time period, you know, the lights aren't as shiny and bright, but what are you going to do with that others won't? And I try to pass that lesson on to my son, to the clients that I serve today. That experience helped me get to where I am today.
Yeah, the one thing I love about you guys at Divine that you guys are working with is NIL, which, you know, a lot of people have their opinions on NIL and, you know, where it stands in college sports and high school athletes. But it's something that, you know, is very important to include in your services, right, these days. And what's your approach for NIL for high school athletes and college athletes?
Well, my approach is, I mean, you know, you want to get your guys compensated. You want to make sure that they get what they're worth, but you want to also educate them about the process. I mean, look, it's here. It's not going away. You know, guys are going to get compensated for, you know, the stuff that they do in college and even in high school now. So what can we put in front of them so they don't become get on episode of 30 for 30 broke or something like that? And so we definitely are doing seminars. We're going to do, you know, just a very hands-on approach of, okay, you got this money. What are you going to do with it? How can you be better after you get done playing? Because this is a short time. I mean, if you play for 10 years, you're still in your 30s. I mean, you're still a baby. I wish I was 35 years old. Mm-hmm. We want to put good people in front of these individuals so they can make smart decisions. I mean, we're doing that right now. I think it's a good thing. The only bad thing about the NIL era is there's a lot of, I guess, people who are getting in front of these kids who didn't put the work in, they're not certified, or they didn't go through the proper training to set these kids up for success. And I mean, look, I mean, you can be anybody and be an NIL agent. It's unfortunate because, you know, when you get real documents, I mean, I look at documents for a living, and little words could cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars. I tell people that all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, words that are not added or they are added, it could cost you. You know, so that's why you need to have qualified people making sure what you put your John Hancock on is right.
Yeah, I mean, it's been crazy that it's just blown up so fast. You know, how have you kind of, you know, been able to keep up with it? Because there's things changing, you know, it feels like almost on a daily basis right now with the NIL era that, you know, started just a handful of years ago and feels like it's, you know, sped up and just is on a bullet train right now. How have you kind of, you know, approached, you know, how things can change quickly, you know, very, very rapidly?
Well, I mean, be quite honest, that's one of the reasons why I left where I was and where I'm at now. I wanted to get younger. I wanted to get with individuals who were doing some work in the NIL space a lot more than I have. I mean, At first I took the approach of, well, you know, this is the Wild Wild West. It's crazy. I'm just going to stick to traditional recruiting, my traditional work in the NFL. But I learned very quickly, if you're not in that NIL space, you're going to swing and miss a lot. And you're not going to have the opportunity to help these young men grow. So I'm actually going all the way down into high school now. I mean, I'm talking to high school kids now. And I mean, I might not be able to get them the multi-million dollar deal, but I can get them some work, get some money in their pocket, and then I'm going to sprinkle in some education early in the process. And I mean, that's what you have to do now. I mean, shoot, you got some of the biggest agencies right now you know, tapping into some of the biggest high school programs in the country. Now, that's been happening a lot in the basketball space. Football is, I mean, probably two decades behind basketball when it comes to this. Now, football is now starting to catch up. And again, there are some horror stories with people like me interacting with these young folks, but there's a lot of good stories of us, you know, making sure that, yes, we're going to put some money in your pocket, but we're going to educate you along the way.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I mean, so like my only introduction to being an NFL agent is the show Ballers. So I got somebody that's really in it. And you said you were already doing some work this morning.
Sorry about being late.
It's all good. What is a day in the life like? I know you got a couple players playing today in the Super Bowl, but what's a day to day kind of thing for you? What's a day in the life of Javon Barnes as a certified NFL agent?
Well, I mean, no day is the same. I'll tell you, like one day I could get a call from a parent that needs their whole life scheduled, you know, so we have someone for that. I mean, because that's just part of the gig, you know, you're dealing with the athlete, the client, but, you know, in some cases, you know, we have to help out family situations, you know, so yeah, I'll get that call early in the morning. Another day, the client may say, hey, you know, I'm staying here, but I want to train all the way on the other side of the country. You need to make sure that, you know, all my stuff is, was at point A, now it's going to be in point B. So yeah, we got to figure that out. Obviously, you're talking to teams and scouts and you're trying to get as much information as possible so you're ready for contract negotiations or renegotiations or extensions or stuff like that. And then, quite honestly, you got to fight off other agents. I mean, now that's the side that, I mean, I know they show a little bit of that on Ballers and Jerry Maguire and all that, but no, you got to fight off other agents, you know, and I got some horror stories and war stories with agents. And I mean, I've had it rolled up on a couple of them, and I mean, we talk and we smooth it out. I mean, look, I'm 6'3" 240. So, you know, I think I'll be batting a pretty
high batting. Not the typical agent size.
Yeah, I'd be batting a pretty high batting average, but no, it's and then like I said previously, you know, you have some of the tragic situations that you deal with. Now that's not on the daily, but you know, that is in the realm of possibility because you're dealing with human beings. The beauty about doing what I do is you get to see these young men's lives change. And, you know, you have undrafted free agents who become starters. And now, you know, they're able to make sure that their, you know, their kids or their mom is in a better place. I mean, I have stories like that. I mean, Devin Hester and I bumped into each other a few times out here at the Super Bowl. I mean, you know, he's a Hall of Famer and he's still so humble, so great. I mean, we still work with him. I'm working on his whole career to this day. We're around the same age. I was blessed enough to be a part of his last contract and I'm just doing some off the field stuff with him now, but he can do what he wants to do when he wants to do it because he followed the game plan. So, I mean, it's just a great blessing to be a part of this.
Yeah, you mentioned a couple local guys, obviously Tay Johnson and Mylon Graham, and obviously I'm a Notre Dame fan, so I'm happy they're both playing for the Irish now. But you know, even just off the field, you know, what have you seen as far as growth from them? How have those guys? Obviously, they're both improving on the field. Tay took a huge step into the starting lineup this past year and is, you know, going to be a superstar up there in South Bend. And Mylon's, you know, just it feels like he could have a big breakout this year. But what have you seen as far as growth from both of those guys?
Well, I bet you DeMarcus Muhammad can speak more to this because he has been, I mean, he's,
yeah,
look, he's a great, great young agent. Part of our Fort Wayne 260 Inner Circle. He's been with them since they were young, but the little bit I've seen, you know, from just watching above is just that they continuously want to be better. Like there's a lot of kids now that just want to be famous or just want to make a buck.
Yeah.
And the guys that come from that camp, that trashing camp, more times than not, they want to be great players. And that's the part that I see from both those individuals. I mean, they really want to be great. I mean, you talk to a lot of individuals now, and you have a, you know, I have a recruiting meeting and we're talking or whatever. Being great does not come out of their mouths, you know, a lot of times, you know, but when you talk to those two individuals and, you know, people, anybody that's associated with those two individuals, they, you know, they still want to be great. And that's, that is, I'm telling you, man, they're a last of a dying breed now. and they are great examples of, you know, if you continue to work hard, continue to put the grind, and you know, you put it in front of you and then say, okay, I'm going to take on all challenges. You know, more times than not, good things can happen.
So today, on days like today with the Super Bowl, you know, you got a couple players involved. I don't know if you're on Radio Row or anything like that. I know you got some parties to hit up or something, but what's a day in the life like for you today on a Super Bowl Sunday?
Well, some games I go to, I've been to a couple games, and most of the time I'm just networking through the day. I probably got three things we can go to before the Super Bowl happens. And out here, I'm promoting a marketing company that I'm tied into. It's called Create Fans, you know, so I'm having meetings about that. I'm always working. I mean, you know, anybody that knows me, 24/7, I'm grinding because I really want to be great at what I do. If I'm not going to the game, I go to a watch party. I'm going to a watch party during the game, and then I'll visit the players afterwards. I got a couple tickets for the friends and family after party. Now, the crazy thing about this year is someone that I represent is going to lose. You know, so going to the after party, the losing team isn't cool. So I'm just going to figure out how everybody's going to be feeling during that time.
All right. Well, who you got in today's game? Are you going to go against family or not?
Well, I'll say this. I'm not supposed to root for anybody, but obviously I'm going to lean towards the Seattle Seahawks 24-17. You know, like I said, I got a cousin that works for Seattle. I got three guys for Seattle, one for New England, even though my New England guy, I mean, he's my guy. You know, all of them are my guys, but that's my guy over there too. So I know if he gets this tape, he's like, man, what's going on? I was like, you my guy too. And if you win, man, we're going to celebrate. I'm going to be at the after party, man, and then we're going to celebrate and drink the champagne. That's but I think Seattle's going to edge 24-17.
All right. Well, that's Devon Barnes, NFL agent for Divine Sports and Entertainment. Thank you so much for joining the show today, and enjoy the game out there, all right?
All right, appreciate you. Appreciate you. You guys have a good one.
All right, we will. That is Javon Barnes from Divine Sports Entertainment. Thank you so much for joining the show. Great guest, great perspective on, you know, the NIL space as we've talked about a couple of times here on the show in its, you know, first few episodes that we've been doing. And just, I think, great perspective on, you know, how there are some horror stories, but there's also some good. And I like that he mentioned the education on, you know, getting these guys set up so that they're just not going to get this one time influx of cash and it just goes away instantly. So,
yeah, a big reason I wanted to get him on the show is just, I mean, first of all, the Fort Wayne ties, being from here, going on doing great things for not only, you know, today's players, but the future. Yeah. He's representing players that are playing today in the NFL on both sides, but he's also representing players from here, 260. Yeah. A couple players from Notre Dame, Quade Guilford from Northrop, that's going on to Ohio State next year as a freshman.
Yep.
I love what they're doing, man. I am a big fan of what they're doing, not only for college sports, high school sports, but for the city. The 260 now has a legit agency to go, you know, to trust moving forward as they enter that space. Because it's not just football players either. They represent basketball players, baseball players. So very excited for Javon and Divine Sports and Entertainment for what they're doing.
Yeah, that was great. Great perspective. I'm glad we had him on. You know, gave us a little lean on today's game. He didn't, you know, he was kind of hesitant on who he wanted to pick, but I don't think he was going to go against his family of Jason Barnes, who's in the scouting department. Yeah, you can't go against the fam.
Plus, they're outnumbered. He has, what do you say, three players on Seattle that he represents?
Yeah, and he just got one.
One on New England. Well, sorry, so, bud, you're outnumbered.
Yeah.
I got to go Seattle.
Yeah, gotta go Seattle. All right, let's switch gears here. He's joining us here just a little bit early than we said, but that's all right. That's Coach Eric Thornton, head coach of the girls basketball down at Norwell, and he's coming off a sectional championship. Coach, thank you so much for joining the show, and congratulations.
Hey, I really appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on today.
Hey, not a problem at all. It was. Last night was a little bit of a struggle, you might say. Had to you know, tough it out. You got great performances, obviously from Vanessa Rossworm. But just take me to, you know, either in the huddle or, you know, the mindset on the bench when you guys are down. I believe 12 in the third quarter. You know, just what's the mindset of maybe in that huddle? You're like, all right, maybe we haven't been here before, but here's what it's going to take to get out of this.
Yeah, I thought Homestead's physicality was the difference there early on. I think they face guarded Macy Salfrank, our second leading scorer. Things were really sticky. I thought they did a great job defensively and had a great game plan. And I just think it took us a while to settle in. Our entire focus at halftime was let's just continue to get to the third, fourth, fifth side of the floor. That's what it's going to take tonight. It's going to be really hard to score. And we knew it was going to be a physical game, and you know, Homestead did a great job. I just thought things loosened up. I also think our mentality changed, and you know, it always helps when you have a player like Vanessa hit some shots, and it kind of gives kids that that confidence, you know, that we're coming back and we're in it. And our kids just needed to hang in there and make it a 32-minute game. And I'm really proud of them. You know, as you guys know, Homestead's a tremendous team, and yeah, it was a tough task for our group, but I'm glad our kids hung in there.
So I was at the game back in November. The game was a lot more comfortable in that one. So what was your approach for the girls coming into this game? It's always tough to beat a team twice. We always say that. So what was the approach coming into this game last night?
I know, because you're always trying to give your kids the right psyche, you know, whether you win or lose that first matchup. And, you know, Delaney Knoll hadn't played for them. And that's the message we heard from you know, a lot of the outside sources, which is true. I mean, Delaney's an all-state player, you know, tremendous respect for her. And we knew that they were going to be better with her. She was going to play more of the point guard position. They put Epps more in the post where she can really go to work in there. And so we saw Maya in the post late in the fourth quarter there in our first game, and she had some success in there. And so we knew that that was going to be where they utilized her most of all. And, you know, she can play anywhere, obviously. And so, you know, with those two changes, that's what we kind of prepared for. You know, we can't let Maya get great touches inside and with the ability to make a lot of moves and do some damage to us in there. That's easier said than done, as well as pay attention to all their perimeter players. So the way we play our 1-3-1, you know, you adapt and it morphs to the scout. And, you know, yesterday, you know, we held them to the same amount of points that we did the first time. Holding Homestead to 46 points is nearly an impossible task. But our kids did it twice, and the second time for sure was harder than the first.
Yeah, I was looking back at some results for, you know, this season, but also, you know, in historic seasons as well. It feels like you've had, you know, just you know, you took your defense up just, you know, another notch for this season. You know, what's been the difference for this season to have that defense, you know, just take that one step further and be able to slow down a team like Homestead who's got a lot of firepower?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would just attribute it to the senior leadership that we have. You know, we've got we've got kids who have played this system now for multiple years, even before high school. But it's really become good here the last couple years, where we've been able to get a little more scout specific. There's certainly not a singular attack that teams can utilize against our 1-3-1, and so playing them before, also seeing Warsaw play 1-3-1 against them and see what they did and maybe how we can do it similar or different at times. That's always good to have that on film with other teams to see what they do. But you know, it's so difficult with as many scores as they have and the way they share the ball. But when you look over the years at how our team has really grown up, they've been on the big stage a lot here the last few years. The schedule that we play in the non-conference is so critical. Even the failures that we've had, you know, Warsaw has really made us look silly a couple times this year, especially the second time. And I think you have to go through a lot of that pain in order to, you know, come out the other side and to be a better team. And our kids have handled those losses really well. I think there's a lot of maturity there. And I just give a lot of credit to our senior leadership.
Absolutely. I wanted to get this comment in before we move forward. It says, Coach Thornton, personal finance and econ professor MVP.
That's right. I
had that comment roll in.
That's from our buddy Cale DeVoe, if you remember that name.
I do. Oh, I do. Cale. That was I remember too. Cale. I appreciate that, Cale.
That's good stuff. So I seen a tweet. Is it tweet still? I don't know. I'm still saying tweet. I seen a tweet last night after the game, Coach. And it said, at this point, we need to start discussing Indiana Miss Basketball with Vanessa Rossworm. What are your thoughts in reply to that?
Well, I this senior class is loaded, as you guys know, throughout the state. And in our area as well, you look at Northrop, you look at Homestead, you look at Warsaw, and I don't want to leave anybody out. I think Vanessa's consistency, I don't know about Indian All-Star. There's so many good players in the state. But I think she's an All-Star for sure. I think she's definitely in the same same discussion of Miss Basketball. Probably tough for her to do it, you know, with being a 3A school. But when you look at her consistency over the last 2 years, especially, you know, she's been with us since her freshman year, hit the game winning shot as a freshman against Northwestern in the sectional. And this kid has had no fear. She's a unicorn as far as the consistency and playing without fear. I've never had a player that has approached big game moments on the biggest stages that you could possibly play in Indiana high school girls basketball as Vanessa has. I don't know how she could do better. And I don't know how you could compare any other player to what she's actually accomplished. Last night, you know, when things aren't going our way again, she puts us on her shoulders and, she knocks down shot after shot after shot and makes a big impact literally on every possession of the game against some of the best teams in the state. So I can go down through all the stats. I won't take the time to do that, but I could stack up our toughest opponents and her performances against those the last couple of years. I'd put her up, her numbers up against anybody. And the thing is, too, I would say this, you know, when they go to double her in the post from the weak side last night, when Ashley Waldman finally hits, you know, sticks with it and hits a shot, Vanessa, and it's what we talked about all week, Homestead's going to come from the weak side when Vanessa gets into her dribble post game. And we've got to be recognizing that. We've got to be communicating that. And Vanessa kicks it right out to Addie Norris, who makes a one more pass to Ashley Waldman in the corner. Those types of plays are what define Vanessa as well. It's not just about her scoring. You know, Friday night, she's two assists shy of a triple-double against Wayne, comes right back against a Homestead and knocks down six threes, has 28.
Crazy.
And she's just smiling. She's loving it. She's just loving it. I can't say enough about her. Difference last night is we had Vanessa and Homestead didn't. I mean, honestly, as good as team as they had, Vanessa was the best player on that floor last night.
Yeah, I was watching the highlights. Credit to Josh Ian from Wayne 15. He posted just like a super cut of her performance, and you could just see it in her face. And obviously, you know, she didn't get super emotional after like making big shots, but just like you could just look in like her confidence of that, you know, this was her time to shine. And definitely she came to play last night and was a big reason why you guys were able to pull out the victory. I want to, you know, kind of reflecting a little bit on this season as well. You guys will play Snyder next week in the regional down at Belmont. And you guys, what do you remember from that game back in December when they defeated you in that tournament, and what lessons will you take from that and use it into next weekend?
Well, first of all, I want to give credit to Reggie for putting that holiday shootout together last minute after Bill bagged it the day before. And Valpo, Snyder, and Norwell are scrambling here, expected to play two games, you know, that next day. And Reggie calls and said, hey, we would love to host this. Are you guys in? Valpo's in. And absolutely. Unfortunately for us, or fortunately, I think that depends on your perspective, we had to go back-to-back in that situation. And we were all in on it. Again, I appreciate what Reggie did. We had to play Valpo the first game, led the whole game, and lost a heartbreaker at the end. It's a game we felt we should have won. Very emotional game. It's just difficult to kind of pull it back together again. And really, about less than an hour later, we had to play a fresh Snyder team on their home floor. And you know how good Snyder is. They're young and upcoming, and people have said they may be a year early. I'm telling you what, they are as good as anybody we've played all year. So it's going to be really tough. It's a different type of matchup than it is against Homestead. I think matchups are a big thing. Mackenzie White was her first game back after being out for a while. And Cooper had come back a little bit before that. And then, they jumped on us at the beginning of the game. And we just had to fight. And to our kids' credit, they did, but we just didn't have a lot in the tank at that point, and Snyder played exceptionally well, and we know how difficult of a game that's going to be, and their athleticism, their strength, it's a different type of matchup for sure. Those aren't the types of bodies that we have, on our team, so we're going to have to figure some things out throughout the week, but we're sure excited, that we get a chance to play those guys.
So I know we talked about Vanessa and her leadership and the way she plays and leads her team, but there are obviously some other girls that deserve some shine as well that help, it's a team game. And there's a reason why your girls are still playing this late, even moving up to 4A this year. There's a reason you're still playing. So talk about some of the other girls that are also balling for Norwell right now that are also that may be going under the radar a little bit.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about the rest of our team because, as you mentioned, we're not still playing without being a true team. Macy Salfrank has been an exceptional kid who has stepped up for us. Our second leading scorer, but she just gives it her all every game. You look at some of our other seniors, Addie Norris, who's been great for us in big moments as well. She's just a bulldog down there for us on the baseline of the 1-3-1 and just fights for everything. We've got Ashley Waldman, like I said, who I'm so proud of for just sticking with it last night when things weren't falling and knocking down a shot, but continuing to bring it on the defensive end. We've got Jada Dale, who gives us a lot of energy off the bench, is another senior, and Larkin Smith, who's our sixth senior, but would start on a lot of teams for us in the past and a lot of teams in the area. And she doesn't get as much playing time or maybe notoriety. But Larkin's as big of a part of our team as anybody is and helps make us better every day with what she brings. And then you look at some of our kids off the bench, you get Olivia Green getting the and one at the end of the game and didn't get the free throw, but just continued to run the floor and got rewarded for that there at the end, made some big plays throughout the game. Bella Swineford, who's been sick all week, came off the bench and gave us a lot last night in the post. Haley Williamson as well, another junior for us. That has been so solid, takes a charge about every game. And then Mia Kurtz, who's been a kid who's played some JV for us just to get minutes as a sophomore. But I can't say enough about Mia as well for just continuing to be with us every day in practice and not only helping us this year, but getting ready for her final 2 years. But, we've got 10 kids who have been with us the whole season, and that's been our regular rotation. I hope I didn't leave anybody out. I don't think I did. every one of those kids has made an impact on this team. And you saw it last night in key moments where it may not just always be about scoring, but it's about being a part of what we do and how we have to execute things in order to pull out wins like last night.
Yeah. Last night we had not just one team from the NEA conference win a sectional, but we had three. I think that speaks to, you mentioned the non-conference play, but I think, that also speaks to, just how challenging and how deep I think the NAIA conference was in this particular year.
Well, that's a great point. And I love to talk about how strong the NAIA is. The girls' side has been strong here for a while, and I think it's gotten better the last couple years.
Yeah,
I think our conference has worked to play a good non-conference schedules in the best way that we can, and it's a great mix of communities and schools, and there's been a lot of success through the NE8, and you're right, we're fortunate to have a strong conference because that only helps us come tourney time.
Yeah, for sure. That's Eric Thornton, Norwell girls basketball coach, joining us here on the show after their win over Homestead last night in the sectional championship. Coach, again, congratulations, and good luck against Snyder next week, all right?
Yeah, thanks again, guys. Really appreciate you having me on today.
Yep, no, not a problem. That is Eric Thornton, Norwell girls basketball coach, joining us here on the show after his Knights defeated the Spartans last night. Yeah, we were watching, like I said, watching some highlights of the game last night, and it was just the facial expressions is what I was drawn to with Vanessa. Like, you couldn't have tell if she made that shot in the first play of the game or if it was late in the fourth quarter when they absolutely needed to have a bucket. It was just same facial expression, and she was, you know, just locked in when they needed to have her the most, like, because as I said, they were down by 12 trailing in that game. They were down pretty much the whole game, but they were able to fight back and win. So,
yeah, I was thinking about going to the game. I ended up spending time with the family last night, but it was at my alma mater. So
yeah, it was in your neck of the woods.
Hey, it's an excuse to go back home, baby. Southside all day.
Yeah.
What I loved too was there was no empty seat.
Right. It was a big crowd.
I think a couple people tweeted and said, good luck finding a seat in the house tonight. It was packed. I love seeing that, man. Basketball. I love seeing crowds show up for basketball because, you know, regular season is kind of tough. It's kind of hit or miss. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll see highlights. You go to the games and a bunch of the bleachers are empty.
Yeah.
But I love seeing that last night, man. Everybody in the city showed out for that game, both programs. So great victory for Norwell. No reason for Homestead to hang their heads. Norwell is a great team. Yeah, but shout out to Coach Thornton for coming on.
Yeah, for sure, and he's been there for a long time. He's close to 500 wins. He's at 497, I think, right now. So, he has the potential to hit 500 if this team keeps winning in the state tournament. They face Snyder next week at Belmont, and it's just a short trip for Norwell, and it's a short trip for Snyder. It's not too far down to Decatur for that game, so I would expect it to be packed down there. As well. That's a great gym to take in a game as well. It should be packed next Saturday, I think at 4 o'clock.
We go.
Yeah.
Last comments. It's time.
Yeah.
It's time. Bryce, official score prediction for the game today. And everybody, if you're watching, comment section is open. I want to know who you got in the Super Bowl.
All right. Well, I mentioned in my comment before that I don't trust Sam Darnold in the last 5 minutes of the game. However, I do think it's going to be Seattle winning this game. I think it's going to be 21-17. That is a cover if you are paying attention to those sort of things. I think it's at last I saw, it was a 5-point spread this morning.
I'm going to have to put a little something. It's been a long time. Yeah. I'm going to have a little fun today. It'll make it a little bit more interesting.
Yeah. So I think it'll be a low-scoring game, be close game. I think it'll be close in the fourth quarter. But hopefully the Seahawks, in my mind, don't need a game-winning drive from Sam Darnold, because I just don't trust him. It feels like he gets in those situations and he's just gonna make a mistake. That's the type of quarterback I've known him to be.
That Notre Dame USC rivalry is still coming out of your mouth. He hasn't been at USC in what?
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
2018.
I'm still picking him to win the Super Bowl, man. I'm still picking him. I just don't think he should.
But I don't believe in him in the fourth quarter with 5 minutes left.
Do you
that quarterback? Yes. Do you trust Drake May?
I don't trust either of them.
Seahawks win.
I don't trust Drake May's offensive line. That's who I don't trust.
True. I got the Seahawks 28-14.
Wow.
28-14. And that's being generous. I have a feeling that Seattle's going to run away with this. If it was snowing or something, then it would be a little bit closer. But it's not. At least It shouldn't be.
Not in San Francisco.
No. Not in San Francisco. I mean, look, I've seen crazy things happen.
This game isn't being played at Mile High, all right?
Yeah, like, look, I've seen crazy things happen. But, yeah, I got Seattle 28-14, man. The Seahawks win. Sam Darnold wins it in the final 4 minutes just to make you shut up, make you eat your words. Scores two touchdowns in the last few minutes of the game. No, I'm just kidding. I got Seattle, man. Seattle rolls.
All right. Well, you mentioned earlier, what's the spread like over there with food situation?
So we're mixing it up today.
Oh, really?
Mixing it up today. So, you know, we usually do like wings or nachos, something like that.
Yeah.
We're doing homemade Chinese food today.
Wow.
Yeah. I do some orange chicken, some rice, some egg rolls.
All right.
Mix it up. It's been a while. So no, you know, no traditional wings or nothing like that. We'll have some vegetable snacks, some things like that. So yeah, we're going to keep it going Chinese tonight.
No, I like it. I like it that it's different. We're doing like, dips. So we're having like a beefy queso that we're making. I think it's called, technically it's called like cowboy queso or something like that. Somebody's making buffalo chicken. Somebody's making, I'm trying to say.
Wait, are you having a party?
Just having like another couple people over. That's it. It's not. Hey, the silence is deafening.
Let me check my mail. No, that's a bill.
Okay.
Let me check my mail real quick. No, another bill.
Okay.
Another bill. No, I didn't get anything in the mail, Bryce.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I must have missed that invitation.
I don't think it was ever sent.
Yeah, I see that. I now see that there was no invitation for this Super Bowl party that you're throwing.
I wouldn't even call it a party. I wouldn't even call it a soiree. That's a big word. Big word by DC there. No, it's just another couple people coming over. That's it. Just so.
All right.
Nothing too big. Not nobody. So.
All right. I'll let it slide. Yeah. just remember that. Remember that. No, I got. Hold on. We got. Let's see. Right, our buddy Kale DeVoe, pulled pork and wings for Super Bowl tonight, boys.
Ooh.
Hey, pulled pork sounds pretty good.
I will give Kale a shout out because him and I were texting yesterday for some of the basketball. He's a big Purdue fan. Obviously, you can tell his name. Yeah. You can tell KD Boilermaker in his name. He made some great looking barbecue yesterday. It was on the smoker all day. It looked good. If you know, maybe I'll send you a picture, DC. It looked good. It was. Kale texted me like 7 o'clock in the morning.
Now you want to send me something. Now all of a sudden you're feeling generous.
Don't act like we don't text or message every single day.
I see how it is.
All right. Yeah.
No, I'm excited though, man. I do have to go to work for a couple hours, but I'll be back in time for the Super Bowl. So
yeah.
Got a busy day today.
Yeah, I'm always interested to see like who is also playing on Sunday, like a Super Bowl Sunday. It's mostly the games obviously happen during early afternoon, like they're starting like right now, and then they'll go until like 4 o'clock, and then there's nothing else going on in the country besides this game. It's always, and obviously that's probably why it gets such a huge number, not just
that's nationally. That's a common zone game if you want to step out to the Coliseum.
I'm all right. I got. Like I said, I got to prepare for my soiree today. So
yeah, I bet. Yeah, got to prepare for all the people, the group of people that are coming over.
No, I gotta stay here. I gotta work on our show. I gotta get our clips and interviews up on our YouTube. So
get ready for all these people. That's not me. That you invited over.
Yeah. Yep. Our black tie event that we're having over here. You know, just fully catered and. You know, people, butlers walking around the entire place. Yeah, exactly. that's what we're having. Yeah,
I'm missing out. I don't have a black tie anyway, so
no.
I couldn't have came.
I don't think I do either, actually. To be honest, so all right. That'll before DC and I get into more argument about not getting invited to the Super Bowl, we'll end the show there. But thank you so much for everybody for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe. to the YouTube channel. Make sure you follow us everywhere. Instagram, Super Bowl. Jeez. Instagram. I got the Super Bowl in the mind. Facebook, Instagram, X. Make sure you follow us on there. Sideline Sports Show with Bryce in DC. We got a huge show coming up next week. We've been planning it for at least a couple days now. Yeah. Hopefully to have not just one, not two, multiple guests on the show. I wasn't going to get up there this time.
Come on. Not
going to allow you to have that brain rot on this show. Not going there. But we will have a lot of guests coming up on the show. It should be a fun show. If you're from the 260 or even not, we're going to have some fun guests coming on the show next week, and hope to continue this train rolling here on the Sideline Sports Show with DC and Bryce. So thank you so much for tuning in here on this Sunday morning / afternoon now, and hope everybody enjoys the Super Bowl this afternoon. Hopefully it's a good game. I think we're hopeful that it's going to be a good game. DC thinks it's going to be a 2-touchdown game. I think it'll be a lot closer than that. But for DC Hendricks, I'm Bryce Vance. This has been the Sideline Sports Show with Bryce and DC.